Well, it's great. Sometimes you don't really know if you need to speak on a day like this. Seems like I probably should speak, since this is the first time I've had the opportunity to speak to this church as a pastor, as your pastor. I'm so thankful for a great team. And for people who just do incredible things in this church, for volunteers and people who serve, people who put their shoulder to the work, lift the burden of others, who are available in the city, who are out working in different places in the city and making a difference in their own workplaces and their own families and their own sports teams and their own, kids swimming lessons, wherever they are. I'm so thankful that there are people in this church who are deciding that they're following Jesus and want to make a difference. And I'm so glad to be able to honor a couple of people who have decided that their life call is to ministry and to give their hearts to Jesus in that way and to commit themselves to follow Jesus and to help other people do the same. I'm so thankful to be part of that with them and to be able to honor them in that. It's good. That's a good thing for us to be able to do, church. And we need to continue to honor those people and to be able to pray for them and encourage them and bless them as they do what they do. And they do it very, very well. Yeah, you're a blessing to this church. Well, I'm glad to be here. It's good. It feels like the journey's been a while. It's taken some time. We've walked through some things and this whole idea of me standing on this stage and getting the opportunity to serve you as a pastor here in this church. This whole idea came up quite some time back now in September. This idea started percolating in our hearts, and at that time we were in Victoria. We were pastoring at another church, and we loved the valley, and I knew this church only very little, but I loved what I knew of it, and I'm just so amazed this morning. I'm just so amazed that here we are, and that we get to move forward now. And I know that some of you have, I know that transition can be hard, and people can feel like, where are we actually going, and what are we actually doing? And what are we accomplishing? But the beautiful thing about this church, then and through transition and now, is that these people are the church. The people in this room are the church. The people in here are continuing to do the work of God, whether they're led by a pastor or not. And so I'm thankful to be part of that, because that means I don't have to really do much for my job. Because you're already doing it all. No, I love that this church, honestly, I showed up and thought, this church is healthy and there's great things going on. There's incredible things happening here. And I know there are things that need to change, and I know that some people are thinking there are things that need to change, but there always are. There's always things for us to do. There's always things to accomplish. There's always things that we need to see, because the world is not saved yet. And people all don't know Jesus yet. And there are people suffering in this city, and there are people suffering in this body, and there are people suffering and broken all around us. There are people who are lost. The blind don't yet see some of them. The deaf don't yet hear all of them. And we're going to continue to do the ministry of Jesus Christ until we see everyone come to know Him and everyone know His life and everyone know that they can see in a new way and they can hear in a special way. And that Jesus wants to speak to them about their potential and who they are and what they can do. I believe that the valley is going to be a place that British Columbia and Canada start to talk about. They can start to say something is going on there, and it has nothing to do with the pastor, and it has nothing to do with an individual, but something happened where the Spirit of God started moving in hearts and empowering them to do the work of God in the valley and see things happen and see lives changed and broken free. I really, really believe God wants to do something here. So today's not a vision casting sermon, because I need to be here and get to know you before we get to that place. I'm not going to come in here and tell you, here's how church should function. The only thing I know for sure is that Jesus needs to be glorified, and when He is, He will bring all people unto Himself. The Bible says it, and we believe the Bible in this church. And so we're going to walk in that direction, and together we're going to see things happen. I can't wait. I can't wait to see that happen. I can't wait for testimonies. I can't wait for more pastors to be licensed on this stage who right now maybe aren't even anywhere near Jesus Christ. Maybe right now they're walking somewhere far away. Maybe there's some toddlers in the nursery right now who are going to be the pastors of the coming generations. Maybe there are people who have turned their back on Jesus, but Jesus is seeking them as lost sheep, and He's going to bring them back here and empower them to be pastors to this country and to the world. But we're going to believe it together. We're going to expect that things are going to happen in this church. But for now, we're going to start with a series called To the Cross. Easter's coming. Does anyone like Easter? That's what it's. I don't know if you know it, but Easter is a pretty big deal around church. Not just because of the Easter egg scramble, though that helps. That helps make things feel a little bit more exciting. But Easter is a huge thing. Easter is when everything happened that now allows us to speak life into any situation. Easter is the reason we can say the things that kept us from God are now gone, so now we can actually enter into direct communion with God through Jesus Christ. That's pretty cool. Easter is a special time. Easter is a time when we can actually start to say that addiction doesn't need to be the power anymore, because the cross came and can break addiction still, and can break depression still, and can break eating disorders still, and can break off brokenness from past and from divorce and broken relationship, can break those things off, and we can see life still. That's what Easter's about. And so we're going to talk a little bit about Easter in the next few weeks. To the Cross is the title of the series. We're going to talk about Peter particularly and his interactions with Jesus when thinking about the cross of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus was a friend of his. Jesus was a guy he walked with, and Peter's just fun to talk about because he usually makes foolish mistakes. And I like talking about people who make foolish mistakes because it gives me a little bit more grace for myself. And hopefully you more grace for me. But let's just read one verse together. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Lord, thank You that You gave us power in the same place where people saw foolishness. Lord, we want to know the power. We want to live lives that maybe people see as being foolish, but we know are connected to the greatest power source that has ever lived and still lives. Yeah. Let us know Your life. Today, let us leave here changed, because we know that we need to do things differently so that we can see things happen differently around here. Help us, Lord. In Your name we pray. Amen. Well, I got the great opportunity of joining the Young at Hearts on Friday night. Is there any Young at Hearts in the church today? There's a few. It was quite a special time for me, actually. And Pastor Ken, he had me quite a couple weeks before that. He had asked me to come and speak. And then on the day of, he took me out to weaken me a little bit. He took me out to play squash. I don't know if anyone here has ever played squash against Pastor Ken, but it's a sore experience still. I'm surprised I climbed these stairs today, actually. A few times lately we have young kids, and a few times Kendall sort of pushed me and said, Ev, can you go and take care of Hardy? He's crying upstairs. I'll try, but I'm not sure if I can make it up these stairs. And Pastor Ken beat me about 50 games to one, something like that. And the one was because he was sitting in the lazy boy in the back somewhere, and I don't know where he was. Couldn't find him. But the one, he did let me win one, so that maybe that was the invite to come and try again. But I am very sore, actually. I'm sore from that. But I got to go and played with Pastor Ken, and then went to the Young at Hearts and had a great time there. And one of the things that I was talking to them about was a number of things have happened in our lives, in mine and Kendall's lives and our family's life, that have sort of confirmed that we are meant to be here. In our personal lives, we got a home for less than we thought we would get it. We got a car in a pretty miraculous kind of way. A job opportunity has opened up in a pretty special way. And when I was talking to the young at hearts about that, I used the word blessing. These were blessings for us to receive. We have received blessings from the Lord. But as I left that service, that time together, I thought about the word, because the word blessing has been a little bit of a hard one for me lately. Sometimes blessing has become a little bit mixed up right now. Hashtag blessing, people put on Twitter all the time. You know, today I got an ice cream cone with sprinkles. Hashtag blessed. So, what? You know, today I woke up and I felt happy, blessed. You know, today I rolled up the rim and won. Hashtag blessed. That's hashtag miracle. That's what that one is. Because those don't happen every day, and I've tried. Almost every day I've tried, and it's not happening. I'm waiting on that hashtag blessing. But we get the idea that we go ahead and we start just throwing out the word blessed. Once God does something good for me, then I'll be blessed in my life. And I'm going to wait until something, I'm waiting on this one blessing from God. Well, if God gives me that one blessing, then I'll know that He exists still. And then I know that He's still doing something. And then I know that I still have favor with Him if He blesses me in a certain way. And it gets a little bit confusing. Because we start telling people and telling God that if we keep getting good things happening in our life, and good things usually mean good things that everyone considers good. In other words, if we keep getting wealth, if we keep getting fame, if we keep getting being really healthy, if we keep having lots of happiness, then we're blessed by God. But I think God has a little bit of a different idea of what blessed by God looks like. Because I don't know about you, but the reason I have a hard time with that is because what happens when people come into church and they feel like they're going through not good things? And they feel like they're facing challenges. And they feel like they're overcome by certain things. And we pray and we're just waiting, and we're waiting for that blessing of God to come and do something, to come and shift something, to come and change something. But it doesn't seem to be changing. Well, what do we do with that then, if our theology is that God wants to bless us and that blessing will look like wealth and fame and health and all of these types of things? What do we do with that? How does that work? How do we handle that? Peter was thinking the same thing in the first conversation when the idea of the cross came up to him. If you'll join me in reading about it, it's in Matthew 16, verse 13 is where we're going to start. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Those are all big names in Jewish culture. Those were the big guys. "But what about you?" Jesus says. "But what about you? Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter, there's our guy, answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." I don't think Peter maybe knew this as clearly as he realized he knew it. I think all of a sudden this moment came to life for him. So, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter was like, "Whoa, you're God. You're the real thing. Something just happened. I'm just seeing it in a new light. You are God among us." Wow. I think Peter was probably shocked by his answer. It's like when someone who doesn't normally get answers right in the class all of a sudden gets the right answer. Like, that was strange. And Peter should have known, as that student should, keep your mouth shut on the next question, because things could turn. Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, blessed are you," keep in mind that word, "blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." What is it that Jesus says at this point is a blessing in Peter's life? That he gets to hear what God is thinking. That he gets to hear what the Father is thinking. In this moment, the blessing that Jesus says is a blessing is just that he can hear the way God hears. He can see the way God sees. That he can look at the world the way God looks at the world, instead of the way men and women and people and culture look at the world. That's the blessing. Some of us say, blessed is he. Wow, what's that life going to look like? What's going to come his way? What are the great things that he's going to get to see in his life? What are the things that are going to pour out? What are the great things that are going to happen because he's blessed? That's incredible. And Jesus says, no, you're blessed. Well, the entire blessing is that you get to hear what God is thinking. Blessed are you. Then he goes out and pours out some more great things to Peter in that moment. And Peter's built up and empowered and great things happen. And then the very next conversation, the very next part of the conversation, Jesus starts talking like this. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things. He starts talking about the cross at the hands of the elders, chief priests and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Now, I don't know how this goes. Sometimes when you read through that, you think Jesus all of a sudden turns really somber and says, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to go get killed. But I think because I know the gospel, I think Jesus might have had that a little bit different. I think he might have started talking, saying, yes, you guys remember we're going to change this world? Do you remember lives are going to be changed? Do you remember that I told you I'm coming to bring life? Do you remember I told you I'm coming to bring love? Do you remember I told you we're going to see the captive set free? Remember I told you all of those things are going to happen? You remember I told you the blind will see and the deaf will hear? Do you remember I told you the miracles and the incredible life that we're going to see coming all around us? Do you remember that I told you those things? Because all of those things are going to happen. And I'm going to have to die, but I'm going to rise after that. And life will come from death, Peter. Imagine that. And Peter's listening to Jesus speaking about this. And it says, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. That's the point where I said Peter should have kept his mouth shut for a little while. Peter says, excuse me, I know I just said you're God, but come with me right now. He walks him over here and says, listen, no, you're not going to die. And I know I called you God, but I'm starting to wonder. Because I don't want you to die. And I don't want this to happen. And I want good things to happen in my life. And I don't want to lose my friend. And I don't want these circumstances to happen to you. I don't want you to go and get handed over. I don't want you to have to suffer. I don't want you to have to die. I don't want any of that for you. I don't want that to happen. So no, you will not do this, Jesus. No bad things will not happen, Jesus. No, that will not happen in my life, Jesus, because you're God. Sometimes we think, since I'm with God, everything is all good. And it is. But good sometimes looks different than we expected. Good sometimes looks different than what the world expects and what people have told you that good is. Good is something from God. Because God is the giver of all good gifts. But sometimes we need the blessing of being able to hear from God to be able to see the things going on in our life are actually good. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Well, you are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man. He says, no, Peter, you don't get this. If you want me to be God, and you're saying I am God, then I better be driving this train. I better be the one leading this. I better be the one directing the ship. And you need to get behind me. Has anyone ever had a backseat driver driving with them? And you just want that person to leave your vehicle? It would just be nice if they were over there somewhere in a different vehicle. Side of the road, it doesn't really matter, it's just not here. You know, you're driving and they're even if they're not saying anything, they're gripping this thing up here. We're about to roll. You know, like they're pumping the imaginary brakes. Like trying to grip at a wheel or something, or like sitting on their hands, like what are they gonna do? You know, they start to maybe direct you and tell you some things. Oh no, you might want to slow down soon, you know, like they can't handle themselves. And you just wanna say, close your eyes, please. Close your eyes. I'll get this car where it needs to go. And I've done this before. We're just driving home. Like, I get home every single day. I'm gonna get home today. Can you just close your eyes and enjoy the ride? come and be part of the ride. But Peter comes along and said, listen, he just said a second ago, you're the driver, you're God, you're God. Okay, God, I have some problems with your plan. And Jesus says, you can't have problems with my plan. I'm going in a direction and you decide, are you going to come in behind me and go where I'm going? Or do you need to step out of the vehicle? Because I'm gone. This is God. This is God. The blessing comes when we can trust that whatever He's doing is from God. That whatever's happening in life, God will carry us through. The blessing isn't that our circumstances will change, though sometimes He does that in miraculous ways, and we'll pray for it every single time because we believe for healing, and we believe we believe that we would be wealthy so that we could give out wealth. We believe that we can receive things from the Lord. But the blessing isn't that our circumstances would change. The blessing is that we would know the One who will walk through us, with us, through the circumstances. That will take us on forever in eternity. Another time that this happens, a similar story is from another big name in the Bible named John the Baptist. John the Baptist is a guy, he lives his whole life, his entire life, to point to the One that's going to come. Christ, the One that's going to come. He lives in the wilderness. He has camel hair as an outfit. He eats honey and locusts. He looks like an old school prophet. He looks like one of the prophets of old. And this is the life that he's living. This is who he's being. This is what he's doing. He's committed his life to talking about the One who is yet to come and the One who will come. And so he's doing all this. Jesus starts walking up and he identifies Jesus. He confesses, that's the Lamb of God. That's Him. That's the One. Here He is. He's come to do it. He's come to judge the world. He's come to do all that He was meant to do. And all who have repented and believe in Him are going to go with Him. That's incredible. Here He is. Jesus shows up, gets baptized by Him. Then Jesus goes off into the wilderness to be tempted. And John ends up going to prison. And from prison, John's looking around the prison cell saying, I thought the Lamb of God was here. I don't know about this. This isn't exactly what I would have imagined this looking like. I'm in prison now. So he writes Jesus a letter. He says, Matthew 11, 1 to 6. After Jesus had finished instructing the 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, are you the One who was to come, or should we expect someone else? Well, who was the one who told him just before that he was the one to come? John the Baptist. John said, this is the One. I'll stake my entire life on it. In fact, I have staked my entire life on it. This is the One to come. Now here he is saying, are you the One to come? Why? Because the circumstances changed. Now he's in prison. That doesn't feel as good as it did being in the waters. He says, are you the One? I'm in prison. I'm the One who was pointing to you the whole time. And now there's all these people around that you're going and helping. And you're caring for those people. And you're with those people. Those people didn't even repent. You know, those people didn't even get forgiven. Those people didn't even get baptized. Why are you still going to those people? Because I'm here in prison and I'm your servant and I have done many good things and I have worked hard for this and I have given up my whole life for this. And you're going to people who didn't give you anything and didn't care about you and you're going to them now while I'm in prison? And Jesus says, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cured. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is preached to the poor. And then he said, blessed is the man. Blessed. Blessed. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. In other words, blessed is the person who is able to suffer in some area of life so that someone else can be set free in that same area. Blessed is the one who comes to church and realizes that since they have Jesus, they have every blessing they require in life. Since they have Jesus, they have every fulfillment that they'll ever require in life. And since that's the case, they don't need to pursue wealth for themselves. They can pursue it for someone else. They don't need to pursue comfort for themselves. They can be comfort to someone who needs it. They don't need to pursue fame. They can be with the lonely and care for them. Blessed is the one who doesn't fall away because of me. Imagine Jesus saying that to John, who saw Jesus coming. He said, don't fall away because I'm now here and doing what I do. Because sometimes for Jesus to do what he did, remember, he went to the cross. He told Peter he had to die. So if he had to go and die for there to be life, what do you think he might expect of other people? That the things in us that we're pursuing for our own life, for our own good, for our own joy, for our own fulfillment, the things that we're seeking from this world and saying, Jesus didn't give me quite enough in the cross and the resurrection. I need something else from this world. I need something else, some other satisfaction that someone else gets. Sometimes the theology is that Jesus, when Jesus comes into your life, you get what everyone else values. You just get more of it. That's not true. This world, this Comox Valley, doesn't need people who leave church and say, now I'm going to get more. The Comox Valley needs people to leave church and say, because I have Jesus, I have nothing that I need to hold on to, which means I can give life wherever I am. I can give hope wherever I go. I can speak life wherever I go. It means I don't need to be encouraged because Jesus encouraged me, so I can encourage others. That's the blessing. That's the blessing that we're called to live out. At Young at Hearts on Friday, I was told I'd be a long-winded preacher. So I'm going to go ahead and invite the worship team up now. You can come on up. As to make sure we don't get that impression off the get-go. Jesus at another time spoke this profound word. John 12:24. I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat falls on the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. In other words, if a seed hasn't died, it can only live for itself. Can only supply nourishment to itself. It can only give itself what itself needs. Then Jesus says, but if it dies, it produces many seeds. In other words, life flows out from that seed when it dies. And he's speaking of himself. Jesus is speaking of himself, saying, when I die, life will come from me. But He did the ultimate in that moment. But remember that he called Peter to the same. He called John the Baptist to the same. He called all of his disciples to the same. Take up your cross. Take up your cross. Why would he say that? Because every time we allow our own selfish ambitions to die within us, we get to provide ambition for someone else. We get to be something for someone else. I know in this congregation there are people, even in this room today, who feel like they're broken and worn out and feel like faith maybe isn't working for them. But I also know that the answer for me every time is that Jesus died so I could know life. He let the things in his own life die. He let his own pursuits die so that we could know life. And I know that there are people in this room. I know, because I'm one of them often, that we hold on to things as if this is where our life would come from. As if that money is where our life will come from. As if this group of friends is where our life will come from. As if this particular word is where our life will come from. But when we decided to believe in Jesus, all life flows from Him. And we have all that we need. So we can be all that they need. So we can be all that this valley needs. I dream, and I hope you're with me on this dream. I dream of a time when the city area, the Comox Valley, Courtney, Comox, Cumberland, Royston, Black Creek, Merville, I dream of when these areas start to call on the church and say, what you're doing right now, the way you're living right now, no one else is living. No one else gives like you give. No one else blesses like you bless. No one else pours themselves out like you pour out. No one else serves like you serve. No one else cares for this group of people like you care for that group of people. I believe that God's put He's fulfilled every need in this city from within this church. And He's just waiting for you to answer the call, for people in this room to take on the calling that's already in their heart to meet the needs of this city. Jesus isn't short-handed to meet the needs of this city. But He's poured out the blessing that we would hear from God and do what He's called us to do. Because that's the only place the blessing comes from as far as Jesus is concerned. It's not in Tim Hortons roll up the rim. It's not in the small things in life that seem like the great mass of things in life. It's from us hearing from God and then not falling away when He does great things in other people's lives, even when it feels like it's not happening in ours. Because He's going to do great things in life, in others' lives. Let's believe for that together. Would you just join me? Would you close your eyes for a moment? I want to give you a chance to respond. And if today, some of you maybe you're sitting here today and saying, I actually don't know this Jesus that you're speaking of. We're going to talk basically every week about Jesus. And in the next few weeks, we're going to talk about the cross of Jesus. And the cross of Jesus is all about this man who came, who was God, who wanted to come into this world and wanted to set us free. And He did that through dying on the cross. And from the cross even saying, forgive them, Father, forgive them, Father, forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they are doing. Some of you say, I don't know what I'm doing in life. I don't know where I'm at in life. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know where I'm going. I don't feel like I have a lot of purpose. Peter felt that way too until God revealed to him something about Jesus Christ. I can't reveal to you something about Jesus Christ, but for some of you, God is starting to show that in your heart. He's starting to say, I have something for you, and it's in Jesus. And if you'd receive it, you will be blessed. You will be blessed to have that. Is there anyone in the room, if you just want to raise your hand, I would love to be able to pray for you. Is there anyone in the room who says, I want to receive that? I want to receive that. I want to receive Jesus today. I want to know His life. Go ahead, if you're here, you can raise your hand. Yeah, I see your hand. I'll pray for you. When I see you, you can lower your hand. I see your hand. I'll pray for you. I want to pray for you. You can lower your hand. Bless you. Bless you. Blessings in this room to people. Blessings come to people. Not blessings that the world can give, but blessing that the Father gives. He's revealing Jesus to you so that you can know the life that He gives to you. Jesus, thank you for those who have raised their hand today. Let them know the blessing of Jesus Christ. Let them know the joy of Jesus Christ. Let them know that their circumstances can't define their joy. Their circumstances can't define their peace. Their circumstances can't define who they are. But they are defined as a child of God today as they raise their hand and say, I accept Jesus Christ as mine. Bless them, Lord. Bless them as they begin that journey. Bless them. For those who did that after the service, we have some people who will pray for you, and you can go to the front of the room here towards the cross and pray with them. But there's other people in the room who have thought Christianity was about getting lots of good things from God. And because of that, you've kept yourself from giving all the good things that He's already given you. If that's you today, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. While you're feeling that conviction in your heart, allowing God to speak to you, let Him do that. Let Him speak to you. Maybe there are people in your life that you haven't talked to because you didn't want to. Maybe there's a generous gift that you haven't given because you clung to that as if it was your life. Maybe there's a word of encouragement that you were meant to speak, but you didn't speak because no one's speaking that to you. Maybe there's a healing that you need and you haven't seen it. And because of that, you're saying, maybe God doesn't exist. I want to encourage you, keep praying for the healing, but believe that it will all be healed. Jesus will bring all things together for the good of those who love Him. He will restore all things. But the joy for us and the blessing for us is that this world is not all that we have. It's not all that we have. There's more.